In a believer's life, there isn't anything that's random. There is no randomness to a believer's life, none whatsoever. Psalms tells us that the steps of the redeemed, the righteous, the just are ordered by the Lord. The steps of the righteous or the redeemed are ordered by the Lord. In the world today, and it's been that way in everyone's time, but in ours we find it most unique, and to every generation it is, because there's never been a day like this day. There's never been a time like this time. Because each one is sketched out by the will and the purpose and the plan of the Lord. But nothing random is happening to you. The Word says, how many believe the Word of the Lord is true? Then the Word of the Lord says, the steps of the redeemed are ordered by the Lord, and we delight in His ways, and we want to be a delight to God. Steps of the Lord are steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, or you can say, my steps are the Lord's. My steps are the Lord's. You can say it. I won't get on it. It's all right. My steps are the Lord's. My steps are ordered of the Lord, and He delights in me when I delight in Him. So there isn't anything random about what we do, what happens to us, what comes into our lives. And no one has anything to say about it except God when your heart is in Him. When Christ is in you, no one has anything to say. There's no evil power. There's no evil authority. There's no demon or boogeyman or anyone else that has anything to say about your life, because God's word is true. The word says in Him His word is yes, and in Him it is amen. It means it's finito. It's done. That's the way it is. What God said He meant, and He meant what He said, and He wouldn't have said it if He didn't mean it. But He meant it, and He said, your steps are ordered of the Lord. So today, whatever the scenario of your life is, you have to know that your steps are ordered of the Lord. Your steps are directed by God. And then I love this scripture that says, as for God, my God, His way is perfect. If you believe those two things, your world is going to turn around today. Not at the end, not later tonight, today, right here, right now. Because the awareness of who God is your faith in motion. And if you do one thing in your whole life, you can do everything God tells you to do. You can believe everything God tells you to believe if you just believe God. That's it. Now, and we believe in God, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about believe God and what He said. And what He said is, your steps are ordered by me. So today, whatever the scenario is, you may feel like you don't have enough to do whatever it is you feel God's telling you to do. Or you don't have the knowledge, or you don't have the influence, or you don't have the connections, or whatever it is. It's just too little. Too little, too late to ever. No, it's a different song. But whatever it is, you can't not have enough, because God likes to start with nothing. We've been talking about this. God created nothing, or it wouldn't exist. Nothing is a creation of God. And I can tell you why, because God is everything. So it would take God to create what we understand as nothing, because He's everything. And there isn't anything outside of the order of who God is. God is so God, and He's so good, and He's so right here, right now. I'm not waiting for anything, ever. I'm just walking in the fullness of who He reveals Himself to be. That's the kingdom of God. So we don't have to wait. This word says this. Don't say tomorrow. Say this is the day, right here, right now. This is the day. This right here, God made it. It didn't just show up. Do you have any idea? You really don't, nor do I, of what it took for today to show up. Because it didn't. It was created. And it was created out of nothing that God created. And God created nothing to create space to do something, so He could do everything. Again, if heaven was everything God wanted, He wouldn't have created the earth. And if all the host of heaven were all the creatures that He wanted, He wouldn't have created you and I. But He did, because my God, His way is perfect. His way is absolutely perfect. And if you believe that, you'll see the perfection of his way in every challenge you have. Because your complaint about there isn't enough isn't a good enough excuse for God not to do what he said he was going to do. Because what God really wants in all that he does is that you see his glory and that you become a part of all the glory that God is. The word says that the proving of your faith is for this. It's to prove that the genuine, that you're sincere about your faith for this purpose, that God is glorified, that Christ is revealed in you. That's the whole point. God made mankind because everything wasn't enough without something coming out of nothing. So God said, I'm going to create the nothingness. And he created it. And then he said, I'm going to put you in a world that seems invisible and unseen so you can do something that heaven has never been able to do in a way you can do it. You're going to be able to believe me in what seems to be the not enough, emptiness, vastness of nowhere. And out of the nothing, I'll show you everything. And because the one thing that pleases God more than anything is faith in who he is. And the one thing God is first and foremost is holy. He's just holy, and that'll never change. So he'll never change. And there isn't anything that exists outside of God. But everything that exists in God is the fullness of who he is. There isn't any incompleteness. There isn't any imperfection. Now, in order to even wrap your mind around that, you have to be born again. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, not just because you messed up, not because you were headed for a hot place, but because God said, I want to reveal my glory. And the only way they can really know me for who I am, it has to come through their faith. So that's why the scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, angelic or otherwise, the things that God has prepared for those who believe in him. But the Spirit is revealing what those things are. Okay? And that's why the word says, and the angels desire to look into the things that you can see. And you would think, why would they want to see what I see when they can see everything? Because they can't. No one can see everything except by faith in who everything is. By faith in who everything is. So we are a meal. We are a drink to heaven. We are a dessert. Dessert sounds good. We are a pleasing aspect to the kingdom of God because God designed it that way. And he said, by faith you can please me, and without it you can't. Without it you can't. We are the creation here, the inhabitants of the earth, that have the ability to look into the heart of God in a way that no other creature can. But if we become Job and complain about what we're facing because it just seems too hard or not enough, or because we think ourselves so righteous that we shouldn't have to be going through these things, God will make an adjustment and he will help you remember who he is. And when you remember who he is, which can only be done by the Spirit of God, take a breath, which is in you, he reveals what that is. And he reveals it in such a way that you get excited inside sometimes and you don't know why. Something is exciting you and you're not sure why, but God does. And then he moves you into a place of being blessed. How many want to be blessed today? I don't believe you. I doubt God does. How many want to be blessed today? Oh yeah. And blessing would just make everything great and right? Wrong. When you're blessed, that means God is saying, now there's an account given for you. Now I expect something to come through you because I blessed you. I want to be chosen. God, choose me. So God says, I've chosen you. And God doesn't choose you and say, I'll see you later. God chooses you and says, now let's get busy. There's something for us to do. So the redeemed, the chosen, the blessed means God has confidence in the faith he has given you to reveal something from the kingdom of God, and it's all about that the glory of Christ would be revealed in us, that the glory of God, everything God did, when you read about the testimonies through the wilderness, it's all about the glory of God. God would say over and over, I'm doing this that my glory may be known. He just wanted the people to know that I'm with you. That's an important thing. I never come into a place and say, God, we invite your presence. I feel, pardon the crudeness of this term, like an idiot. Because God was there before I got there. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere present. So God's right here, right now. And whatever your nothing is, whatever that blank, empty canvas is that God has handed you, is a blessing to you. Because God wants you to stand out. He said every part of the body is unique. But a lot of times we have no idea how unique we are because we're going through things, not realizing you're going through it because you're blessed. Not because you're cursed. Because you're chosen. Because God knows that the faith of who He is in you will reveal an aspect of who He is. And not only will you be blessed by it, but we get to touch heaven. I'm not here really to minister to the earth. I'm here to minister to heaven. That's what I'm called to do. We're here to make heaven restless. The Word says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation nor shadow of turning, which simply means God's going to do a great thing. God's going to do something incredible, and He wants to do it through you. Because He loves you and He made you out of His love. And so when God blesses you, don't expect things to just go the way you want them to. As a matter of fact, you're probably going to go completely the opposite way as the way you wanted them to. And instead of getting upset and rebuking the devil and getting mad at God or at family or at people or the boss or politics, I thank God for the chaos in the world of politics today. God, I praise and thank you for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Because we won't get comfortable relying on any authoritative figure to demonstrate who He is in us, but we have to be that people. And are we or are we not called kings and priests unto our God? That's the way God sees us, kings and priests unto our God. So it's time to get busy because God is doing a new thing. He's doing a brand new thing. And He says, but before I do it, I'm going to tell someone, and someone has to actually believe that I said it and that I'll do it. And why? Because my God, His way is perfect. To me, what does that mean? It means in Hebrew, it literally means He is whole. Everything is already connected. Everything is already complete. Everything. There isn't anything to adjust. There isn't anything to make right. You just have to know that He is God. Yes. And you have to believe that He's God working through you, or my piece of dirt friend, you wouldn't be alive. Dirt can't live. Dirt can't breathe. Dirt can't do what you do. And like it or not, as much as you bathe this morning, we're all a piece of dirt. And guess what? We're old as dirt. Every one of us. But Adam and Eve didn't know they were dirt. They did at one point. But initially, in the genesis of time, they didn't know they were dirt. And that's the way God wants you to think. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, which means I'm not living here. I'm living here. Kingdom. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. If you'll just do that, if you trust me here, seek the kingdom of God. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to be able to delegate responsibilities in it. All you have to do is believe in it, and it'll do the work through you. That's the kingdom of God within me. Jesus said, if they tell you it's over here, or it's coming some other day, or it's someplace somewhere, He said, don't believe them because they're not telling you the truth. He said, the kingdom of God is in you. It has to be on the inside of you. That's where the Father placed it. And God said, I'll make my dwelling in you and with you and through you. Of Him, through Him, to Him are all things. So when we say, my God, His way is perfect, it means everything is in as perfect an order as it could possibly be. There isn't anything to be changed because He's holy. Yes. And that God is the one you believe in to through Jesus Christ, who said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to wipe your consciousness clean. I'm going to wipe your consciousness clean, and all I want you to do is I want you to forget what you used to remember about you, and I want you to remember who I am in you. Yeah. We talk about, I know who I am in God, but do you know who He is in you? That's so important. Adam and Eve, the Word says that they were naked, meaning there was no apparel that draped their bodies, and they weren't ashamed. And the reason they weren't ashamed is because they didn't know that they were human. They knew what God did, and they thought like God thought. That's why Adam could name the animals the way he did, because God breathed the ruach into them, which is the spirit. And it was the spirit that made them alive, just like the spirit is making you alive today. God breathed his own essence, his life, his spirit, and the breath that they had, and the knowledge they had, and the life they had, was the Spirit of God. So of course they weren't ashamed any more than God is ashamed, because God is spirit. There's nothing to be ashamed about. And then God says, here I'm giving you authority, and this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you my word, and this will make you act like me. This will give you the power, because in the beginning God said, let us make man. But God didn't say we're going to make man in the image of dirt. He said we're going to make man. You women are involved in this too. I'm going to make man in the image of God and in the likeness of God. And as long as he knows that, he'll have power and life forever, because that's who God is, spirit. Let me get to the chase and say that's who we are today if you believe. And then Paul said, but a two-souled individual is unstable in all their ways. Let not that person think they can really receive what God is revealing. Double-minded, two-souled, means what? Well, if you think anyone else is a god but God. To a believer, if you think the devil can invade your life, you have another god. You need to get rid of your gods. We can't have idols. We can't have other gods. Only God. Only God. There is no power but of God. I know that cuts hard against your religious hard-headed background, but it's true. There's only one God, and he said, I will lead you in the way you should go. So single-mindedness means I believe that God is God, and I don't only believe in him, I believe him and what he says. So when God gives you a word, God gives you a word of prophecy, God gives you a word through a dream, God brings a revelation into your spirit, he can do it any way he wants to. It's that word and faith in that word that makes you impervious to anything that would want to penetrate your life and create chaos. Now, I didn't say you wouldn't walk through times that look chaotic, but remember, when God creates, he creates in the chaos of nothingness. That's what he starts with, because it's all going to be done by the glory of God for the glory of God. And sometimes if you have too much, he'll help you out. He'll wipe the slate clean for you so he can paint a beautiful picture there, and it's not compromised by any other image or any other self-minded attitude that I did this. Look what I did. God doesn't want you to get what you get from man. God doesn't want man to be your ability. He doesn't want man to be your encouragement. We can encourage one another. But he wants his spirit to encourage you. He wants you to know what just happened. Then this is the love of God. What's happening isn't happening because I have what I need, because I have enough space, I have enough time, that I'm young enough, strong enough, good-looking enough, that I have enough finances, that I'm intelligent enough. God wants you to know what you get. You get by the favor of God in you. And that favor doesn't just mean everybody likes you. That favor may drive some people away from you. Because the favor of God is the order of his will that brings everything into the unity of his purpose. Unity of his purpose. So if I'm going to be blessed of God, I'm going to walk in the unity of his purpose. That means there may be a few things that God's going to say, we're going to have to get rid of the trash, because you've been throwing your trash in the middle of your living room floor. And that's not where it belongs. You've been saying things that are contrary to the mind of God. And that's not how I want you to think. So when God begins to do a new thing, and only God could do that, because there is no new thing under the sun, Ecclesiastes tells us. That which was has been since the beginning of time. But what God is saying is, I'm going to reveal an aspect of my glory through you. And the one thing God wants you to know is that he did it through you so you feel special. God wants you to feel so loved that you feel special. Now, God's the only one that can make you feel special in that way where it won't go to your head. And when God makes you feel special, it's a different kind of special. The word is called chosen. I'm chosen. He's mindful of me. And in that configuration, in those elements of your life, something unique begins to happen. You begin to prophesy. Now, you don't have to be a prophet. Some people don't believe in prophets or prophecy anymore. I'm sorry for you. But the truth is, as God says, I'll always be speaking. And if I hear God and say what he says, I just prophesy. And he said in the New Testament, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. So you got to stop blaming Diablo for what isn't going right and start blaming God. And not say it isn't that it's going wrong, it's just that God is showing me a new way. He told Moses, I'm going to take you through the wilderness. And he said, the whole point, we can do this in 40 days, but it's going to take you 40 years. Now, it's not God's plan for it to be 40 years, but it is God's plan for you to get it within 40 years. So you know that God is God with us. And the one thing Caleb said that was his anchor, why was Caleb able to think and do what he did the way he did it? Because he said, I remember the word of the prophet. I remember what he said. And to me, it was God speaking. God said he has a different spirit. God wants you to have a different spirit. This generation that is going to do things that have never been done in ways, and you have to, that they've never been done. This isn't an opportunity. This is a call. It's by understanding that you have a unique spirit. You have a heart. You have a desire. You have a tenacity on the inside of you. And it's called the yearning of the Spirit of God. As a deer pants after the water brick, so my soul longs after you, O God. And it is your perfect faith that does it. Jesus went to a well one time. The word says he had been traveling in inner Samaria. He was tired. It was hot. It was more towards midday. Typically, they gathered water in the morning or at night. But this woman that he was about to encounter didn't necessarily want to be around everybody else just because of her rep. So she goes to the well, and Jesus is there, and he says to the woman, he says, give me water to drink. And she looked at him with some attitude and said, why are you asking me to drink or for drink? Because I'm a Samaritan and Jews don't really have anything to do with this. And Jesus said, if you knew who was talking to you, if you knew who I am, you would have asked a drink of me. And here's where we go. And she said, I don't see you with a rope in your hand or a vessel. How are you going to dip out of this water since you have no vessel and you have no rope because the well is deep? And Jesus says, I have water you don't know anything about. He says, but if you would have asked of me, I wouldn't have delayed. I would have immediately given you water, and that water would become a part of you, and you would never thirst again. And he says, as he says, if you drink of the water of this well, you and I both know you're going to be thirsty again. But if you drink of the water that I give you, you'll not thirst again. And my question to you is what well do you drink from? What well do you drink from? How do we determine what we're going to do moving forward? Is it based on theory? Is it based on calculating? Is it based on mathematics? Is it based on physics? Is it based? How are you going to do what you do? How are you going to go forward? How are you going to do something? Because I can tell you, I don't care what you've accomplished, you're hungry for more. I don't care how little you've accomplished, you're hungry to continue to try. There's something about us because we are created to glorify God. Hell and destruction are never full, the word says, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. God puts something on the inside of us that has to see more, has to live from faith to faith and from glory to glory. There's something on the inside. You'll never get there. You can only be there. So the woman asked, what rope do you have? Faith is like a rope. I use this all the time because to me it is a representative of pulling on heaven. And what it means to me is how close is heaven? Right here. If I acknowledge that the kingdom of God is within me, I have the power to pull everything and anything out of nothingness. And that's what God wants you to know. This is a representative to me of the kingdom of God. And a rope is a lot like faith. And no one can value your faith but you. No one. No one can tell you what your faith is worth but you. This rope was probably about a buck and a half a foot, so it's not worth very much based on the dollar. But if you were just that far down and about ready to fall off a cliff and I dropped it down to you, it would be priceless. I bet I could have you empty your wallet, your bank account, and maybe even give me one of your children. The rope just increased in value, didn't it? And that's your faith. No one knows the value of your faith, so don't let anyone depreciate your faith. As a matter of fact, the word of the Lord to Matt Crouch is, if you will stand, those around you that remain, those around you that stand, who depreciate your faith, not out of evil intent, but just a lack of understanding, will begin to, in time, as you walk into what God has developed, created, positioned, set on a platform, set on cement, has earthened it, fastened it to remain. They will look at all that confidence, your conviction of faith has done, and they will appreciate as in value your faith. And these will be those that will follow you. And you will remind those that stand with you that the genesis and the foundation of all we do and all we say is what we believe the Word of God to be and what God has said to us. And the only true foundation upon which we can build anything that will remain and have purpose is that God has said and we believe. And what we do and what we say is not evaluated by the dollar, whether it comes or goes, by what is or what is not, but why God, and what God has said. Why did he say that he could be glorified in you? How so? That you couldn't do it on your own. But by the faith of God in you, he did, he does, and he will. And there will be no lack. Nothing will come to an end that is devalued or worthless. But God will appreciate everything in the eyes of those that are witness around you that God did do it. And you can praise him with me because I chose to believe him. Come and praise him. Come to the feast. Come and celebrate what God has done. And don't forget what he is continuing to do. This is that day. This is the order of his will and his work. Faith is like rope. It's a unique thing to me. It's an interesting thing, faith is. Because faith is not like a chain. A chain is strong, but it's not really like a chain. Here's rope. Here's my rope. This is my rope. And it can be pretty easily broken. But it's my rope. Oh, I can split it yet again. This is what we call splitting hairs. Now let's think about it for a minute. Let's forget what we know and let's think about it for a minute. I just broke this strand of rope, but I'm pretty confident that if I threw this around the neck of anyone, I could drag you up here if I was strong enough to do so. More so, I bet I could connect one end of this to the bumper of my car and the front bumper of yours, and I bet I could move your car or your truck or your SUV because it's a pretty strong rope. Bring me my other rope, please. But faith is like this rope. You see all these fibers? These are actually fairly weak fibers. They break off pretty easily. But this rope demonstrates faith, and it doesn't really make sense if you really think about it. If the integrity of a strand, let's say its integrity, its tensile strength is to lift 5 pounds, each individual strand has the capability of lifting 5 pounds. But if you put them together, look, it'll fall apart. But if you put them together, you can just lay it down, if you would. Hold it. Don't put it on your lap, though. You may feel like you have one strand of faith. In the eyes of people, maybe you have one strand of faith. See how easy that breaks? But I can't do that with this rope. And for some interesting phenomena, for some reason, some dynamic, some act of nature, when we come together, it just becomes strong. Why? It should break as easily as one strand. Because it is one strand. Why do strands become stronger when you put them together? When you think about it, it really doesn't make sense. Well, they're all sharing the load. Yeah, but if they would break under 5 pounds of pressure, why do they not break under 5 pounds of pressure? Just because they're gathered together, it doesn't happen. Why? Because the unity of a thing is just powerful. And when we unify with the Word of God, that one strand of faith becomes a rope. Now, it isn't about things being connected, because a chain doesn't work that way. If you take a chain, what is the strength of a chain? How strong is a chain? Only as strong as its weakest link. Not so with a rope. There are strands in here, I've tested them, that are weaker than others, but it doesn't happen with a rope. Why? Because a chain doesn't come together. A chain is just connected. You may be connected to people that say they have faith, but they may not be woven together with you. They may not be a rope. And the weakest link will give way, and that chain will break. And it will never be any stronger than the weakest link. A rope is faith. It's not the same. Because a rope comes together in unity. Now, if you take a rope and you twist it to try and add more by twisting it, then you compromise the strength of the rope, and it's not as strong as it would be if you just let it bond together in simple harmony and unity. Then it's strong. It's strong. Your faith is like a rope. The woman said to Jesus, "You don't have a rope." But Jesus said, "No, I have faith." See, it wasn't about water. It wasn't about the well. It wasn't about the woman as far as wanting to get a drink, for she didn't have to come to the well. What Jesus was saying was one thing: you should have faith in me, because the rope I have is far greater than the rope you have. You can draw water from this well, but I can draw water from that well. And the water that comes from here will be an everlasting spring on the inside of you. Jesus was saying, have faith in who I am and that I'm sitting right here with her, with you. You know what compromised her faith? She remembered her sin, because Jesus said, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. You burned through 5 of them. And the one you're with now isn't your own. And she went away and said, this man knows everything. She told me everything. See, the way we think about where we came from is not how we can think moving forward. Because where you were and who you were that you shouldn't have been, or didn't do what you should have done, or did what you wished you hadn't done, isn't who you are. As Adam and Eve, the only reason they became naked is because they rejected the Spirit of God. They rejected the faith of the Word of God, where God said, you have everything in me. Just don't touch the tree that belongs to me. That's mine. Don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was no evil in the tree. The only evil was disobedience. The moment they touched the tree, for the first time, they knew what it felt like. They knew how to think in the sense that I just disobeyed God. I distrusted the Lord. I didn't have faith in God. And they rejected the Spirit of God, and they became man. And they were ashamed. You're always going to be ashamed in you. That's why the Word says it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives on the inside of me. You are chosen, you are called, if you will believe. For God to work something so incredibly profound through you that the nations of the earth will follow your lead. But if you remember the past, like the children of Israel when they were exiled out of Egypt, and you keep remembering how it was better then, or where you came from, Paul said, you're double-minded in all your ways. You cannot be stable, and the Word of God is stable. You don't have to be the Word of God. All you have to do is be convinced it is the Word of God and commit your life to believing it no matter what. And in that, God, in the nothingness, I don't have enough, too little, too late to ever love again, God will bring everything to you that He wants you to have. He said, if you'll seek the kingdom, He said, I'll bring it to you. I'll present it to you. I'll show you who I am through you. And when you see that, you will glorify me in a way you've never glorified me before. We will be united in the spirit of truth and power, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's who God is calling to today. That generation, that minded people, regardless of your age. God said, Abraham, I need you to do something. I need to bring a prophetic word through you. But I have to make sure you're empty. I have to make sure you're done. I have to make sure your body's dead. Okay? We're going to start with a blank slate. I need there to be nothing in you so I can do something through you. And what I need you to do is one thing. I need you to believe that it's not by might or power, but by my spirit, by my word, says God. God's word is his spirit, and his spirit is his word. That's why Adam and Eve could have lived forever by the Spirit of His Word. That's the power of prophecy. If a man believes those things which he says, he will have whatsoever he says. But if you don't believe what you say, you won't have it. Because if you don't believe what you say is going to come to pass, how will you believe God, who you cannot see, will bring to pass what you say? Do you understand? Your faith is like a rope. We have to unify it with the Word of the Father. And in so doing, we do that, this is what's going to happen. How much does that thing weigh? You're going to wear a bigger rope. Get a glamour shot. Go ahead and do it. This is who you're called to be. Because if you'll walk in the conviction of your faith, people will be moved by that conviction, and more will come. And the rope will get bigger, and it will get stronger. Not because anyone's any stronger than the first guy or the last guy or someone in the middle or some gal over here, some lady over there, but because there's a law that God says, if any two or three will agree concerning anything, anything. Why do you doubt? Is it because you don't believe? That I am the Lord that is with you. What could you not do? If all things are complete and all things are for you, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. This is what the future looks like if it were faith and compared to what it was. It's the gravity of your faith. It's the conviction of your faith. Jesus went through and He did signs and wonders and miracles. And even in the midst of that, some people just still doubt it, no matter what He did, no matter what He showed them. Because you can't see the spirit of a thing, you have to believe into it. And you're made to believe. You're made to see. A prophet one time was walking, there was an army, they were speaking against him, they wanted to destroy him. And the prophet's helper, servant, back then said, I'm scared. I mean, there's a whole lot of bad people coming to tear us to pieces. And the prophet said this. He said, Father, open their eyes that they may see how many are with them. How many are with you? And the word says that God opened the eyes of the prophet's helper, and he looked out and he said, wow. They're on fire. And there's more with us than those that are against us. God wants you to know there's more with you, far more with you than are against you. But if you follow the lead of the league that you think are those that are against you, you can't see how many are for you. And if your convictions on how many are for you, the same thing will happen to you. God will open their eyes and they will see. Look how many are with us. Do you know how exciting a time it is when God puts you, allows you, because everything is ordered. There is no randomness in a believer's life. Everything is ordered. Everything. Lo, I am with you always. You're not experiencing a random moment. God has not stepped away. God wants you to feel His glory. He wants you to be clothed in the Spirit of His Word. He doesn't want you to feel ashamed of anything. He wants the past to be like one of these small fibers. You just break it apart. And as long as you're afraid, that's what you are. When you're afraid, you're easy to be controlled. You're easily manipulated. The government can make you talk crazy ways, fearful ways, doubtful ways. Don't be afraid. Fear not. For the Lord your God is with you. There are more with us. But someone has to believe. Someone has to stand. Your faith is like a rope. If you will just stand in agreement with God, the strands of your unity are beyond measure. And also as we do that, those in the earth, believers and non-believers, will be united with the strand that you are. And they will follow your lead. And as the Lord said, Tao becomes the head. And the Lord will lead you in the way that you should go. Is it Andre? I saw you. My eyes were big. I shouldn't be. My eyes were big because I saw your face last night. What God showed me was your head. And I said, if a man with such a beautiful head steps in and his name is Andre, then I have to prophesy to him. And that is the reality. But you know what? No one knows that but me and God. And no one knows the value, the quality, and the quantity of your faith. No one. But you and God. No one. So the Lord would say to you, I've had you turn a corner for a reason. I brought you to this time for a reason. And that is for you to look and see, can your faith be united in what God has opened? Did you not say in your heart, whatever the Lord wants, whatever God would have me do or say, but I have to know that it's God. So know that the Lord is doing wonders through you. And what God brought you through a few months ago brought you to this point, and today you stand strong, was that the Lord would know, no matter what, I am the Lord who is with you. Haven't I prevented an incident that could have been a calamity, that I would preserve and keep you to this day? So the Lord has preserved, the Lord has kept, and the Lord will keep you. This is the dawn of a new season. The Lord says you've been an influence. You have a kind heart. You're kind. You're a kind man. You're very kind. You have a very gentle spirit. The Lord says that you won't fight back, but you will go to war if necessary. And the Lord says, the war is over. I'd like to show you my house. I'd like to show you that the battle is over. The conflict that keeps you awake at night because of the pressure that is placed on your shoulders. The Lord said, I will remove those chains. Will you believe me that you could take the lead? Would you believe me that I would remove the weight of the men that say, do? And you will hear the voice of God say, it is done. Walk in it. It's the dawn of a new season, the dawn of a new day. The Lord has broken the chain himself so he could show you a rope. And in that, your joy will be complete. And the unity of the one that sits beside you will find the peace she has prayed for. And the Lord will establish the order of your steps. And you will say, I know what it is to rest in the presence of the doing of God without fear that tomorrow it will dramatically change. This is the greatest season of your life. Can you give the Lord praise? God is so present and so real and so alive. This is not your faith. This is your faith. This is your faith. Garrett, God's challenging you. And what is that challenge? He's saying, trust in me and know that there isn't anything that you've seen or anything that you've wanted other than to know me better and to know me more that will heal the brokenness and the tornness of your mind. There's been a place in your mind where you've just had to say, I have to walk away to maintain my sanity. No one knows, but God knows. God knows. God knows. Praise him. Praise you, Lord. Your presence is so real. Your heart is giving. Your heart is like a sacrifice. And God knows you would have given up your life for the one you dearly loved. But he has her and he has you now too. So though that whatever end it feels like it's on, he has you both. And he's going to do wonders through you. Just believe. The sacrifice of your heart touched the Lord because you meant it. And his sacrifice for you touched the Father because he meant it. And he meant it for you. God will take you a long ways. Trust him, love him, believe him, seek him beyond what you know and beyond what your feelings and emotions tell you. And God will raise you up in this generation to be far more than you ever expected. And you will be a voice in the earth to glorify God. And you will move heaven and earth. Believe and pursue. The Lord is with you. Give the Lord praise in the house. Your faith is like rope. How valuable is it? All depends on what hangs on the other end. What hangs on the other end? How important is that to you? Will you hang your life on the other end? We hang everything that means anything to you on the end of faith. And if you're not willing to do so, then you're not living by faith. And it is written, the just shall live by faith. Which means my life hangs on the end of the rope of faith. And I'm unified with God, and I won't lose what's at the other end. How valuable is your faith? Only you can determine that. No one else can. Can't be seen by someone else as a commodity. But God will make you a qualified investor. He will use your faith. He will open the eyes of your understanding. And he'll do it today. Matter of fact, he's done it today. He's doing it today. Because I come to you in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I come to you in a demonstration of the power of his word and of his spirit. God revealing the treasures, the mysteries, secrets of his heart to you. Secret things, Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things, they belong to God. He knows about them, and only he knows. But the things which are revealed belong to you and your seed and your seed's seed. You're that man, Anton. God has blessed you, favored you, chosen you out of generations that stood before you. Because your grandfather prayed for you, prophesied you, and by the Spirit and in the Spirit called out your name. And only he knows how much faith he had, because God showed him something in you. Only in spirit, only in wisdom, the silenceness of his heart. Because God said, call him out. God positioned you to prove your faith so you would know in whom your faith stands and you could value your faith. I remember walking past stores and restaurants and thinking, I don't qualify. I couldn't qualify to go in that store. I can't even look at it because I can't afford it. Love to eat a place like that someday. But I can't afford it. Can't even afford to think about it. If you can't value your faith, that's the way you live through life in Christ. You'll just never know what you can really afford. What can your faith afford you? It all depends on the well you drink from. What well do you drink from? What's the well you drink from? What rope are you going to use? The rope of man's provision, what he has wielded and put together, or the rope of heaven, the kingdom of God? What well do you drink from? What well are you drinking from? We came to drink at the same well. Let's drink together. I believe in the Word of God. My faith is in Christ. My faith isn't in what we can figure out on paper. They've done that. But one day, you can walk in that store and you can say, I can afford that. I can look at it. I can darken its door. I can walk in with confidence and say, I'll have that donut. This is that day. This is that day. God said, I'll clothe you in righteousness. I'll show you the privilege and the power and the wisdom and the understanding. I'll lead you in the way that you are supposed to go. Dimitri, this is an opportunity of faith. But hear me, please hear me. Not like before. You've been a strand lying beside a rope. It's not what you're capable of. It's what you can believe. And if you will unite yourself with a rope, you'll get lost in the fury of its faith. And it won't anymore be what you can bring to the table, but the table you sit at. Honor, faith, privilege, and power. Honor the Lord with all your substance, with all your might. And when you go and when you meet and when you speak, you will say of the Lord, it's as though I am sitting at the queen's table, at the king's table. And I am welcome because I am seen not as someone that can make something happen, but someone to which is someone that happened. I am something that has happened. God is doing a work inside of you. God is doing a wonder inside of you. Your left kidney and an artery that runs from way down in here all the way up to your ventricle and your heart. I speak the presence of God making everything so sound and so right. Live strong, be well. Live in joy and peace and harmony. Fear not, for the Lord is with you. You're here for a while. You'll walk the soil, you'll tread the soil of this earth, and you'll walk in the joy and the presence and the praise of God. For the Lord your God is with you. You can say, I didn't see anything when I closed my eyes, but God said, but I revealed something when you opened them. I am the Lord who is with you. And today in Him you live and you move and you have your being. And this is the greatest season of your life. Can you give Him praise? Selah.